This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
And let me just lay out the diagram. I'll just put it up here for you guys. So this represents your body, right? And God does something absolutely amazing with this body. He actually puts a person inside of it. And so we're going to diagram that with this triangle here. On the inside of his body, we have a certain shape to our personality. You have a specific personality structure or shape. It might be different than this, so you have a shape to your personality. So I'm using this triangle for this one. And inside your personality structure, you have what we call personality content, okay? And that personality content is made up of all the experiences you've had growing up and in your life with people, traumas, fears, beliefs, good things, bad things. And so I'm going to put a diagram that with these pluses and minuses, right? You guys ever seen this before? And then at some point, this person has what they call in some circles a spiritual awakening, right? Or as Jesus put it, and I love the way he puts it best, is being born again. We're getting saved. And he actually puts his spirit within this person, gives him a brand new identity. There's a lot that's happened here. The old person that you were that produced all of this has been put to death on the cross, and you've been raised up as a brand new creation. This is called in the scriptures the inner man, the inward man, and the new man, the divine nature, the new creation. What a powerful thing. I think John calls it the seed of God that lives within you. Pretty remarkable. And through this process of sanctification, the idea that this triangle grows and grows and begins to displace what we call the flesh or our selfish nature. And that's kind of the idea of this, what this diagram points to. Let me show you this in Scripture. I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Try to see these two eyes here, or these two identities here. It says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. See, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. It's this outer part. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. And so there's Galatians. The next section I'm kind of making my point here is in Romans chapter 7, where it says, I don't really understand myself. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. If I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree the law is good. And then he kind of comes up to this point that he mentions twice is, I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that's doing it. He's saying, I'm not the one doing the wrong. It's sin living in me. And he goes on to say, you know, I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Right? I don't want to do what's wrong. I do it anyway. You see this back and forth, and he concludes again that it's not me doing it, not the new identity, not my new self, not my true self, but this flesh I have within me. So you see, within every believer is this violent conflict that can be very confusing to a believer. See, this is a person without conflict. Like before I knew the Lord, no conflict. Just lived one way. Now there's a conflict. Jesus comes in peace. You see him ride in peace. And then what does he do when he gets to the temple? He cleans house. We see conflict. This is what we experience as believers. And now let me show you this. It says here, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself, by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. He goes on here to talk about adding to your faith all these things, supplementing your faith with all these things. Basically, what he's telling us to do is he's telling us to grow in 2 Peter. And he says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you'll never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance. Check this out, guys. God will give you. Say, he will.
He will.
He will. God will give you. This is so amazing. A grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a kind of a picture here. I don't know what this does for you. But when God promises us, he promises me, that if I do these things, if I overcome, and if I conquer, if I grow as this person, I trust him. I begin to add to my faith. I begin to grow as he leads me. He has a picture of like a military conquest, of kind of a general coming in after battle and being victorious, getting this grand entrance to walk into heaven. He'll give you a grand entrance. It's kind of like this picture of also an Olympic athlete coming home with the gold. I mean, I don't know what that does to you, but this means so much to me, of wanting to have this grand entrance to be able to come into the kingdom of God victorious. I want this so bad. The older I get, the more I just can't wait to see him. And so what do we have against you? What do you have against you? Well, we have this. We have the world. And I know that most of us here know this stuff. We have the world, right? You have Satan himself and his minions. And we have the flesh. And this is what you have coming against you in your life. The world system. What's the world system? I mean, basically the world system is looking at Adam and Eve learning to live apart from God, going their own way. You take those two people and multiply them, 10 people living apart from God, 20 people living apart from God, a community living separate from God, how they decide, how they live. We don't need God. We got it. We got it figured out. We know how to live morally. We know what's right and wrong. We don't need God. And we develop enormously, hundreds, thousands, millions, living apart from God. We have what we call a world system. All of that fueled and pushed by Satan himself. A world system living separate from dependence on God. And that's what we have. Obviously, we have Satan against us and his demons. You have in your family what we call familiar spirits. Spirits that can read your mail, that can read the list against you and your family and know how to attack you and your family in a very specific way. But we have this thing called the flesh. This is our greatest and meanest enemy without any doubt. Why? Because I shower with his enemy every morning. I eat breakfast with his enemy. Right? I go to lunch with his enemy. I go to sleep with his enemy. And this is the enemy that our other enemies get to us to express themselves through our lives. Pretty intense stuff. And like Paul said, he has the desire to overcome, but he just can't pull it off. And that's kind of where I'm headed at with this. Is for me to try to overcome these things in and of myself. It's absolutely, absolutely impossible. Like, what are you up against in temptation? What are you up against in your own flesh that is just so much bigger than you? There's no way you can do it. It's like a flea trying to push an elephant around. Like, there's no way I can do it. First and foremost, I think that's important to recognize, I can't do it. Most people that struggle with addictions, I notice, want to come in, give me the information so I can go solve my problems by myself. Right? And that's not how it works. That's part of the problem in the first place, is we can't solve it by ourselves. And so, desiring to overcome it, recognizing I don't have it in me to do it. So we are talking about addictions. We're all born with this terminal condition, broken in character, the sinful nature we all carry. So let me tell you about this story here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, just super quick. Basically, Jehoshaphat has a messenger come. Just put yourself in his shoes. The messenger comes to you, tells you that three armies have all joined in one, and they are massive. And they're coming against you. And they're coming to get you. What are you going to do? Like, if you're that outnumbered, like, there's no possible way you can do it. This is the situation we're talking about. And he began to pray, and he began to fast. He called the nation to pray and fast. I love the story, but this is what was revealed to him, what God told him. I'll just read this. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army." Hear this for you. Like, will you hear it for you? "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Okay? And he goes on to tell them what to do. "Go, take your position, stand, and I'm going to do for you what you can't do." And they do it with singing, with worship. Absolutely amazing. And the scripture tells us that Jesus always leads us in triumph, like a procession, like a march, like a victory march. He'll lead you in triumph. So what is the key? And I'm going to say this. This is what I end up telling a lot of people when they ask me. I had a guy talk to me the other day about his buddy out on meth. He's all strung out. He's all messed up. Don't know what to do. Don't know what to tell him. Don't know where to go. Anything. Whatever the addiction is. Whatever's out of control. Whatever's up against you in this way. And this is what I tell him. And this is what God's saying here. Is the first step is surrender. Surrender. That's the first step. Like, guys, I want you to know, when it comes to pornography, when it comes to drugs, when it comes to these things, I have lost control. In a good way. I like that. Look on your face, like, you have. I've lost control. And I'll tell you, from watching a lot of different people, that being led by the Spirit, by being led by this inner man, what is it like to be led by the Spirit through withdrawals, through a very scary place where you're letting go of a coping mechanism, you're letting go of a belief, you're letting go of something that's been protecting you or comforting you or soothing you, and you're letting it go? That can be a very scary thing, because there's a belief that if I let it go, I'm going to have nothing, and I'm going to be out in the darkness with nothing. And that is, I'm saying, that is a lie. Completely. Being led by the Spirit isn't like, what do they do in the race cars where they get right behind the car? What's that called? Drafting. They get right behind the car so it's easy, saves them on gas or whatever, makes it easier for them. It's not like that. Being led by the Holy Spirit is more like being on a train car, and the Holy Spirit is this powerful, unbelievable engine that backs up and hooks up to your car and takes off. He knows where he's going. He's got unstoppable power. Power, I'm telling you. When you read this in 2 Chronicles 20, this story, he will lead you. And what is your job? Stay on the train. Here's my advice. When you get on the train and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and And he begins to take you through hell, which is where he goes. It's the first place he's probably going to go. I'm sorry, but this is what this inner conflict is about. He wants you free. He wanted me so free that the first place he began to take me was all the things that bound me. So when his engine hooks up to me, we're leaving the station, guess where he's going? He's taking me to hell. And here's some advice. When you're following the Holy Spirit and you get into hell, don't get off. You guys, I want you to know when you're on the train, I absolutely love it that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Go, Drew, go. Right? Stay on the train. We did it. We did it. Now we're cheering you on, right? Who do you have out in the stands? This great cloud of witnesses is a cloud because it's like so innumerable. It looks like a cloud. We are being like observed and cheered on. Stay on the train. And I know what it's like to come out of that tunnel and out of that darkness, holding on through withdrawals, holding on as my brain rewires, holding on as my brain gets renewed. Knowing that he's given me his word, knowing that he's given me his son, he has proven himself so trustworthy. He's given us his Holy Spirit. I can hang on, and I know what it's like to come into green pastures. And sometimes that train will stop right by the still waters, and I can restore my soul. And then right when you get back on, guess where he's going? He's going to go for something else. One of the things I know is that we need to cheer each other on. Yeah, I was going to do a thing where I was going to have someone, we're going to do this train, and you guys are going to just cheer, stay on it, stay on the train, and we're going to like go around. Who knows what will break loose in here if we did that, right? That would be powerful. All of us here needs people around us to cheer us on and know your situation and the hell you're going through and what you're challenged with and what you're taking on and what you're hanging on to and how scary it is to hang on. But I promise you this, trusting the Holy Spirit to do for you what you can't do, it's the only way. I know when I'm getting in the middle of it, because I start getting all freaked out. I start getting all anxious, and I start getting all antsy. Now I'm trying to be the engine. I need to back up, get back in my car. Let him be the engine. Let him do the work. My job is to stay and worship and trust. I absolutely love it, being with his people, being with you guys. This isn't always the greatest place. When we hurt each other, we say things, right? We step on each other's feet. Someone said this week to me that the ark was the smelliest place on the planet, but it was the safest place. And I was like, wow, that's the underground. That's awesome. I want to be on the ark. Scripture says, forget not all of his benefits. This is what Peter said in this verse here I was reading, where he said, have you forgotten? Your sins have been forgiven. Like, all your sins have been forgiven. Don't forget all his benefits. This is one of the major things that I see that makes people jump from the train, is they lose gratitude. Gratitude's not just a 90s thing, guys. Gratitude is real, and it's now. And I want you to know that people think that I'm all grateful and I'm all full of joy just because I've lost everything and was a drug addict. Now I'm not. And all these things. And those things are part of it. But the real truth is, I'm aware of it. Like, I'm aware of it. Like, there's not a day that goes by I'm not aware of the things. I was telling Tony, ago back there that I was in jail in Los Angeles. I don't know if they still do it, but in a wing I was in, you had to have your hands in your pockets all the time, completely buried in your pockets. Anyone with their hands out of their pocket got disciplined. Immediately you were taken down. So you had to walk around with hands in your pockets all the time. Like, this is how you walked around. And they were ruthless about it. And apparently that comes from a lot of experience in them at jail. That was a really good thing for them to do. But for 6 months, I walked around with my hands down my pocket. I'm like walking around like a penguin. And I want you to know, when I got out, ooh, I was like, check it out. I mean, it was just amazing. And you know, I feel so free. I love it. You know, I think about it. It was a long time ago. I still think about it. I still go outside and go, yeah. But did you know that you don't have to go through that for you to enjoy that same thing? Did you know that? You can think about it too. You don't have to go through all that garbage to know, wow, look at these hands. And God designed these hands. This is amazing. Like, I've got these hands. Like, I'm this being that has his mind and controls this thing. Look. The scripture says 10 lepers were healed. Only one gave thanks. Why? Because he said he saw he was healed. He saw it. Like, I see it. I love it when I was watching these guys, these Band of Brothers, not recommended those videos, but it was powerful because the World War II veterans, the guy was talking about the guts and the blood and the mud and the filth, the flies and the disease and all this garbage they lived in. And I just love listening to this old guy because he said, this is what he said, it just changed me so much. He says, man, anytime I put my hands on clean sheets, he's like, I can't help but just smile. He's like, I'm a king. Like, he was like, whoa, I'm a king. He said, anytime I see a glass of clean water, he said, I can't help but just smile. I'm a king. I mean, and you know what? I don't have to go through all that for me to get that same joy. I get what he's saying. I'm like, whoa. I mean, every night, when I run my hands over the sheets with all the cookie crumbs, yes, debris, it's more like, nah. I mean, I just think about it, and I peel the covers back, like, wow, this is amazing. Like, look at my life I get to live. This is incredible. The enemy will take you right to the thing that will ruin you and stand you right in front of it and get you to focus on not doing it or doing it, but it's going to be about that. And I've seen guys that they quit drinking, okay, I quit drinking, but I'm still looking at it, and 20 years later, I'm still not drinking, but I'm looking at it, right? 20 years, 30 years, I'm focused on it. I'm still, see that way up there, like I'm still not doing that right there, like their whole life, like turn around. And turn around, the whole world that God has for us. Like, so, and I'm not putting down someone that's not, you know, that's overcome like that. You guys get what I'm saying. And they say university studies have shown across the board, like really amazing studies, that the power of gratitude is in the details. Right? It's not like, thank you for my house, thank you for my dog. Like, that's not how it's going to work. It doesn't work like that. If you want real power, it's in the details. And this is the coolest thing. My wife has washed my laundry, our laundry, ever since we've been together. Thank you, God, for clean clothes. I love having clean clothes. You guys probably like me having clean clothes too, right? I mean, when I see my little drawers full of these little folders, man, my heart just warms up. Socks. I mean, it's just amazing, right? Wow, clean clothes. But check it out. My wife has washed over 20,000 items of my clothes since I've known her. Thank you, God. Thank you. How about this? I love cups of coffee. It's how I get present, how it becomes in the moment. It's part of my exercise. When I start panicking and want to go use, we want to be present. We want to be right here now. Really important. Give me a hot cup of coffee. Feel its warmth. Feel how loved I am. I get that picture of a cat on a windowsill on a summer day. It's just been fed. Needs nothing. Right? This is what you do. Like, I do this. Hold that cup of coffee. Life is good. Thank you, God. I'm so thankful. Did you guys know that since I've been with my wife, I've had 8,031 cups of coffee? It's approximately 8,030 cups of coffee that I've got to enjoy. Like a cat on a windowsill. Like this is the details. And they say that if you take one item, you get so much power if you list out like 5-6 things about one item and you focus on that day and just tearing up the list and listing all these random things. I say all this to say, we made a list too. My wife has not smoked 65,700 cigarettes since she quit.
Wow.
That's crazy. I get this from my daughter and I were watching the video, Marie Forleo, and she did this gratitude video, and it was so cool because she was talking about her husband making her pancakes every morning, and she said she was so grateful for it. She went into all these details of the pancakes he makes for her, and then she listed off 127,000 pancakes, whatever he made for her. And then as she's talking, he comes walking up with a big thing of pancakes. It was really, really sweet. We're like, aw, check it out. It was pretty cool. And so that's kind of where I got some of that stuff. They talked about the university studies. I know what it's like, guys, to be thrown in the back of a cop car, pouring sweat, everything coming down, knowing my life is going to change, being in the newspaper, losing everything, going through withdrawals while I'm being processed, hanging on for dear life, being terribly uncomfortable, inmates threatening to urinate on me while I'm standing there, tell the truth, just feeling the loss of everything in my life. And I want you guys to know something. I think about it every single day. Just how grateful I am. I'm not being processed right now. No one gives a rip what's in my urine. No one's testing it. Why? Because I've walked in freedom. It's a powerful thing. I just love gratitude. Gratitude is probably one of the reasons that I've made it this far, is because I'm just so thrilled to death with every moment, every opportunity God's given us to walk in newness of life. And I'm not saying I got it all figured out. I'm just saying my life is filled with joy. And every day is filled with wonder. So I want to say to you, if you're on this train, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, He's going to take you to the places that bind you. He's going to take you to the scary places because He's really, really good at it. And if you stay on the train and you relax and you worship and you rejoice and you stay super grateful, He'll get you through it. You will come out the other side. In my life, for the first time, has experienced flow. And a real flow. Like true flow has happened in my life. Giving Him the power and the authority in my life, as well as my sponsors, the people I answer to, is so important. Why are we going to cry, worthy, 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 to Him? Because He's the only one. What do they say? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. He has proven it. He's proven it to the world. He's proven it to the invisible world. He's proven it through the cross. He says, I will draw all to myself. Not just men. All to me. Why? Because He proved it to the angels, to the world. He settled the cosmic conflict the accusations that were made against him by Satan himself, he proved that he would rather die than use his power and authority to save himself or act selfishly. He would rather love and be selfless. And that's why he is worthy, worthy, worthy. He can have the power and he can have the authority, and he will use it benevolently to all of us. He can handle the power. He can handle the authority. And so I can give it all to him. I know he loves me. I want you guys to think about the train you're on, and if you're ready to go through it, and what kind of support you need from all of us to help you walk through it. We're here. You know, maybe it's weed, maybe it's pills, maybe it's porn, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's, you know, fear, whatever it is. What is it that God's taking you through, and how can we help you and pray for you and support you and cheer you on and be your great cloud of witnesses and cheer you on and stay on the train? He is a mighty, mighty engine, and he knows how to take us there, and he'll do it. Thank you.